Hallelujah. We're so glad you're joining us today. And I want to tell you, I'm so excited about sharing this with you. And it's my heart to finish. So the saints here have already said they're going to listen fast. So you watching online, listen fast. And we'll see how far we get with this. Amen. You know, we've been in I always consider myself a lifetime teen minister. I love that generation. And somehow, some way, over the years, 45, 46 years, I've always had a touch with teens and ministered to teens. And I hope that, and I've told the Lord, I want to always do that. Okay? I want to always be ministering to that generation. They are of such hope, and I have such a heart for them. But I have some testimonies over the years that, you know, just really would shake you up. And I just want to give you a little example. Even here in the concrete city of the Metroplex, I've had the joy of taking teenagers to a sit-down restaurant for the first time in their life. Can you imagine that? Now, I want you to understand that there are families and situations in the Metroplex that are, in a mess. And what's really sweet is that Jesus will take those teens, some of them are messed up because of the mess. That's not beyond Jesus. And some of them are throwaways. That's not beyond Jesus because he takes us in. And it's been my joy to be able to minister to some of those and take them to a sit-down restaurant for the first time. And one little fellow I'll never forget, you know, because I just got to where I asked, you know, I want you to go out to eat with me. And they said, well, I've never done that. Now, you know, my folk have gotten fast food and brought it home and stuff, but we've never gone to a sit-down restaurant. And I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a memory with this. And I would ask them, you know, what would you like? What's kind of your dream meal? What would you like? And one little fellow would say, I want steak and Texas toast. And I said, was there anything else? No, I just have always wanted steak and Texas toast. And I asked him, I said, well, when did you fall in love with Texas toast? He said, I've never had it. But I just figure it's got to be good. Texas toast. He said, that just sounds good. And so I did. I found a place and took him and got him a steak and Texas toast. And I want to tell you, he was smiling the whole way through. And it was just real sweet to be able to do that. You know, we were ministering to gangs there for a while and had a ministry to a gang there around the church where we were. And, man, it was just very, very powerful. A number of them got saved. The leader of the gang got saved. And I want to tell you, over the couple years that we were ministering to that gang, we never had anything go wrong at our church. There wasn't a car messed with, wasn't a building messed with, because that gang leader put the word out. This is our church. Nobody mess with that church or you're messing with us. Is that pretty sweet? And I want to tell you, that was just kind of exciting. But I want to tell you, ministering to these gangs, we took them to Six Flags. I mean, I tell you, I paid for it. To take the, it was a, I'm going to say it's about 20 of them. Because we had a van full, a 15-passenger van, and another vehicle full. We took about 20 of them to Six Flags for the first time in their life. Grew up within the shadow of Six Flags and had never been there. Do you understand that? Okay. And so that was quite an experience, too. And they had a blast, and we had money and gave them a meal and that kind of stuff. But I didn't give them money for souvenirs. And so on the way home, I get a call from my staff member and said, Pastor, we have a problem. I said, well, what? What? Everybody okay? Yeah, but we have a little problem. And I said, well, what is it? He said, well, you know, we're on the way home. I said, great. And he said, but these kids got a whole load of souvenirs. He said, I have a feeling. And I said, your feeling's right. Before they left, they went and ripped off and stole stuff out of the souvenir shops. And he said, what do I do now? And I said, just bring them home. Bring them home. I'll talk to the Lord about it. I'll deal with it later, but just bring them home right now. We're not going to deal with that tonight. Okay. So, you know, they made sure that they got five-finger discount on the way out, you know. But you got to understand where they come from. Okay. One little fella I took out to eat. This guy was in high school. Never been to a sit-down restaurant. I took him out to eat. Ordered him a nice meal. And it came and sat down, and I'm starting to eat. And I told him, I noticed he was just sitting there staring. I said, man, get after it. Come on, I want to enjoy you enjoying that meal. He said, I can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? Never been hungry for it, want it? He said, I have to take it home. And I said, why do you have to take it home? Why aren't you going to eat it here? He said, I've never eat in front of people. He said, my whole life I've just taken whatever meal was mine or whatever part was mine, and I would go to my room and I would eat it in private. And he said, Pastor, I have to take this meal home and I have to eat it in my room. I want you to see this today. Because whatever situation you're in, I want to tell you, Jesus can touch you and minister to you right where you are. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4. The Lord's giving Elijah direction. Now, I want to tell you, Elijah proved that he loved God more than man. That's a problem. Because when you love man more than God, you're not going to tell man the truth. Okay? You're not going to try to please God. You're going to try to please man. That's a problem in ministry. It's a problem with believers. Elijah proved that he loved God more than man because he went up to the king of that time, King Ahab, and told him straight up. Because the Bible said, God said that Ahab had done more evil than any of the others. Now, that's not a good testimony. And so the Lord brought judgment. And so Elijah was used by the Lord to go and look the king straight between the eyes. Because I want to tell you, not everything God says causes a chill bump. I don't know. We live in a generation where if it don't make me feel good, I don't want to hear it. Okay, well, wait a minute. I'm telling you, truth is liberating when you receive it and apply it. And so he loved God enough to tell Ahab the truth. He said, it's not going to rain for 3 years. In other words, he was telling them, judgment come to you in this nation because of your sin. It's not going to rain for 3 years till my word. I want to tell you, that took some holy boldness. That took some love for God. That took some love for people. All right, you have to love people enough to tell them the truth. If I don't tell people the truth, let me back up. If you don't tell people the truth, you rob them of the opportunity to respond to truth. Okay. Here we go. And so after he spoke that, the Lord spoke to him. Because I want to tell you, whenever the Lord uses you to minister to someone else, guess what? Either before, during, or after, the Lord's going to minister to you. He can't help it. That's his heart. Boy, that ought to encourage you to minister. It's hard to know sometimes who gets the biggest blessing. Because it's just the Lord loves to love us back. He says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. This is what he told Elijah. He told Elijah to go to a certain place. And he said, you shall drink of the brook. In other words, I'm just telling you, it was a spring water. It was Texas Ozarka water. Texas spring water. Great water. And I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, that's never happened before. There was never a record of it. Okay? This wasn't going down to the local grocery supply. This was God supernaturally supplying him food. And he said, I've commanded the ravens. Now, I want to tell you something about animals. They have a tendency to obey God more than man does. When God spoke to the fish that he had prepared to swallow Jonah and said, I want you to go swallow that prophet and everything to throw off that boat, I want to tell you, the fish obeyed. Jonah didn't, but the fish did. I want to tell you, these ravens obeyed. God told them, said, hey, I want you to go get some steak and Texas toast and bring it to my prophet twice a day. Okay, and I want to tell you, the ravens obeyed. I'd like to talk to the ravens and know where they got it. I think there's a story there too, and I got a theory, but I ain't talking about theory. He commanded the ravens to feed you there. And the ravens, verse 6, and verse 5, I want to say this. He said, I've given you a place to feed you there. Everybody said the place of there. That's a very important place because that's the place of provision. The place of there. Where's your there? Okay? A place called there. I kind of want to put a sign up somewhere around here that says, this is your place called there. Welcome to your place called there. Because the place of there is the place of God's manifested presence and God's provision and whatever else we need. Is that good? I'm telling you, that's how big our God is. And the ravens obeyed. They brought him bread and steak in the morning and bread and steak in the evening. And he drank that beautiful Ozarka Texas spring water all through the day. Steak and Texas toast. So our place of faith is our place called there. It's our place of faith. It's our place of provision. In his presence is his provision. In his presence is his protection. Haven't we learned that from Psalm 91:1? That when we practice his presence, that we are in the shield of his protection. We are under the wings of his presence. And there's divine protection in his presence. There's supernatural provision in his presence. Am I right? And so the Lord has a way of showing himself mighty. And so it's not the longitude and latitude of a certain geographical place, but I want to tell you, it's the position of your heart that needs to be. Your heart needs to be at the place called there. The place of resting in him is the way the New Testament puts it. Resting in him is the place of believing and trusting in the Lord. And so that's our position in him. It's not my there, it's his there. Now I want to tell you, the Lord's there for Elijah was a place he had never been, and the Lord ministered to him in a way he never had. So I'm telling you, get ready for different. Get ready to get out of your comfort zone. Because in his presence is your place of faith called there, where he will provide and he will protect. But you know what? It may be different than it ever has been in your life. It's okay to say, the Lord's done it before, he'll do it again. But don't you dare put the Lord in a box saying, the same way he did it one time is the same way he's going to do it this time. No. 1,000 times no. He's the creator and he's very creative. Okay? And so remember that he's our overwhelming supply. Whether he uses ravens or some way that he never has before, he's our overwhelming supply. And all the saints said. And it delights his heart to do that. Luke 12:32, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Now that's the way the humans respond. But you're not a normal human, remember? We don't have to respond the way the world responds. And, catastrophe comes or weather comes or situation happens. We don't have to respond like a $2 suitcase falling apart. Or like a wet sack that can't hold. No, we don't have to respond that way. We can lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord and depend on the Lord. And when you are rich in him, you're rich in blessing in every way that you need to be blessed. He is your supply for whatever need it is. This is real. This is real life. Crises do come. They come to believers and unbelievers. Crisis can be because you've done something right. Crisis can be because you've done something wrong. Crisis can be because the enemy just hates you. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. So crisis can come, but you don't have to respond in fear. Years ago, I was had a good ministry friendship relationship with a youth pastor in Arkansas, and we did some things together, spoke at some conferences together, but his pastor was a pastor of a Baptist church in southeast Arkansas. It's a small town. And the church was there, and he had a parsonage. They built a house that he built that was pretty close to the church. It was up on a hill, and it was a beautiful home. And a tornado came through southern Arkansas. You know, they're part of the tornado alley, too. We know about. And a tornado came, and this was back in the 80s. And a tornado came. And the only place that the tornado hit was the pastor's house. Yeah. And boy, destroyed it. I mean, tore it apart. And the local newspaper had headlines. You know, there used to be local newspapers. The local newspaper had the headlines, Act of God Destroys Pastor's Home. And so you see the emphasis that they had. That's the way the world thinks. And that was the emphasis. Well, a TV station in a nearby town that was bigger, a TV station caught the headline and said, you know what, there's a good spin story on this. We can get some, you know, clap on this. And that's what media does. That's what news is about. They will present the most negative scenario because, you know what, that makes money somehow, some way, and gets attention. And so, you know, you won't hear about the thousands of planes that landed safely. Aren't you glad they do? You'll hear about the one that had to turn around because of engine trouble. And the headline that they pierce into you, how safe is your airline travel? You know, hey, look, that's their emphasis. You know, it's the world. It's human-minded. It's negative. We're not negative-focused. But I want to tell you, the radio, the TV station came out. And they had in the background, there's the destroyed house. They had the pastor, and his family was there. Had two little kids, beautiful wife. And I was friends with them. But here's the deal. Is that, so they caught him by surprise, you know. And they put a spin on it. And they said, Pastor, how can you explain that God destroyed your home and nobody else's? How do you explain God on that one? He said, listen, y'all have the completely wrong focus. And he turned around and he said, I want you to look at my family. And then he looked back over his shoulder at the house and he said, that house is not my treasure. This is my treasure. And the Lord God Almighty protected and saved my treasure. That's how great our God is. Well, the interview didn't go too well. Okay? But I'm here to say to you, how well do you know your God? Because crisis comes. But listen what he says in Luke 12, 32. He says this, little flock, and that's an affectionate term. Okay, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure. If we could just catch this, that it does God's heart good. Father celebrates. It brings him great celebration, joy to bless you, to favor you, to celebrate you, to reward you because of his loving kindness. He says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to tell you, you get that in your mind and you see God that way and you won't be seeing negative the way the world thinks. You'll be seeing the positive what God does. Genesis 37, Joseph is one of my favorites. And Genesis 37, 2, and I'm not going to take time to read it because I'm already a little bit behind. Come on now, I want you to listen fast. But Genesis 37, 2 says that he was 17 years old when the bad stuff started to happen, where he was taken by his brothers and thrown into the pit. He was sold as a slave into Egypt. He was bought as a slave in Egypt. He served as a slave in Egypt. He was wrongfully accused and thrown into prison. Ever been wrongfully accused? I have. Boy, I'm telling you, that disturbed me more than anything else. I mean, I've done a number of things. I told our leadership team recently, I said, call me fat because that's true, but don't call me a liar because I'm not. Okay, but the deal is that he was falsely accused and thrown in prison as a result of it. And you know, but he went from the pit to the prime minister. And I want to tell you, it was, you say, well, that was, how long did that take? It was 13 years. Because the Bible says in Genesis 41, 46, that he was 30 years old when he appeared before Pharaoh. So for 13 years, I'm announcing to you, he didn't have anything positive to put on his blessings list. Wasn't any positive events took place. But for 13 years, let me tell you something, he still had the vision. He still believed God. And even through the testimony from Potiphar's house to the prison, you can see that the favor of God was on him, even though he wasn't being blessed in the physical way. God was on him and people saw it. That's what we need. We need to be stable. We need to be consistent. We need to mature up. And we need to be the type of Christians that even if there's not super special things happening in our life, that the world knows that God's with us and we're blessed in spite of it. In spite of not happenings, not because of them. But because our God is a good Father. And I want to tell you, for 13 years, that was a long season. You say, well, Brother Tim, I've been waiting a long time for the Lord to answer my prayers. How long has it been? Well, maybe a few weeks, few days, few months, few years, maybe a decade. Well, I want to tell you, Joseph, and this is one of the things I love about him, you never see any negative report coming out of Joseph. He knew God well. We have an opportunity to know Father better than Joseph because we have a better covenant. And I want to tell you, we have complete access to him. You say, well, and I'm going to tell you, for 13 years, he waited expectantly on the Lord because he never gave up on that vision. Hey, I'm announcing to you, 13 years within 1 hour, and I'm calling it 1 hour because I know how long it takes me to clean up and dress up. And the Bible says when he was called by Pharaoh that he cleaned himself up, he shaved, and got on better clothes. There's some wisdom in that. And he appeared before, I figure it took an hour. So within 1 hour of 13 years, waiting 13 years, within 1 hour, he was in the presence of Pharaoh. And I want to tell you, within just moments, he was the second in command of one of the largest, most powerful nations on earth at that time. Is that exciting? His vision, his dream, his destiny, God did it. His part was to believe and to wait expectantly. That means hope. How about David? Same thing with David. As a matter of fact, very interesting to me because I kind of like to study the numbers. But David, between the time that he was anointed king and the time that he became king was 13 years. And that 13 years was not a fun in the sun time of being. He was on the run because his king, his father king, Saul, King Saul was trying to kill him during that time. And so it wasn't a pleasant experience, him just going to camp out. He was on the run. But while he was even out there on the run, he was fighting the enemy. Boy, that says something. And with King David is the same thing. As a matter of fact, he became king after the worst day of his life. I want to just show you 1 Samuel 30, verse 4, and I don't have time to go deep into it. I will in the future because I've written a series on this. And then David and the men with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Have you ever cried so much you didn't have any more tears? I have. You may have too. But I want to tell you something. David had been out with his men fighting the enemy, and while they were out, the enemy of another kind came in. While they were out fighting one, you ever had more than one enemy at one time? Well, while he was fighting one enemy, another enemy came in and stole all their stuff, the women, the children, the families, and stole them, kidnapped them, took them off. And so when they come back from fighting, slap wore out from fighting, they had been ripped off. They didn't have anything there. And they wept. They were broken. Not just broken, but they were bitter. Listen at verse 6. David was greatly distressed. When you cry till you have no more tears, I want to tell you, you may think no one else knows about it. Jesus knows. As a matter of fact, your tears are so precious to him, he captures them in a bottle. Now, I've got jugs in heaven with my name on it. I've got a lot of shouting, too, a lot of joy. But I want to tell you, there's seasons. And I want to tell you, David was going through a season right here. Are you listening? But God's not finished. It's not over. 13 years he had been on the run. He'd been running and gunning for 13 years on the run. Even though God had anointed him, he anointed with king, he's going to be king. I want to tell you, it looked impossible. And this is the worst day of his life. Look at this. David was greatly stressed. For the men, the very ones who had stood by him, who had fought with him, had been with him all this time, they spoke of stoning him because the souls of them were bitterly grieved. Now, I'm announcing something to you. Hurt people hurt people. Man, that's a message. I got a couple of them on it, but that's a message. Understand that when people are hurting you, I have to tell you, in Jesus' name, do like Jesus and make yourself vulnerable and you take it right to the Father. You lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Don't allow them to hurt you and get you out of the love lane. Your best move is to stay in the love lane and leave that all up to God. Because he's better able to deal with it. And you know what? He knows what they're dealing with, and a lot of times we don't. And so I'm telling you, listen to this. Each man for his sons and daughters. There's no greater sense of hurt than when it comes to your own family. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that's something all of us can do, because we have Holy Spirit camping out right here inside of us. And the Bible calls his name Comforter. Why did he give us a 24/7, 365 Comforter? Because we need him a whole lot. And he wants us to lean on him and receive his divine love and comfort. That's how that we can stay in the love lanes, because of Jesus. And I want to tell you, within just days, within a couple days, Saul and his family, Jonathan, they were dead. And David was made king within just a couple of days. After 13 years of running and gunning, he was made king just a couple of days after the worst day of his life. Now, he could have quit. He could have cashed it all in. But I want to tell you, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord gave him breakthrough, because they went and recaptured everything, and plus all the spoils that the enemy had, and they ended up being rich as a result of it. And within just a couple of days, he was made king. Somebody say amen. Do you see that's your God? You can't see that far yet. But what you do is to put your focus on him, and he's the one that opens the door. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Are you ready for an open door? I want to tell you, Lord, grab me this week. We're going to read this together in Proverbs 3 and 5 and 10. We're just going to read it out loud. I just got this from the Lord that we just need to do that. A lot of power in confessing the word. A lot of power in speaking the word out loud. You know we've taught you to do that. You need to practice that. But here we are, Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. We're going to read it together. 1, 2, 3, read. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. Are y'all reading this out loud? And what do I have? 1, 2, 3, read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Wow. That's what the Lord will do. Our only part in that is to love him. To love them back. Verse 8 in the Amplified says this. Says, it shall be health to your nerves and your sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. Now I want to tell you, I'm not a doctor or the son of a doctor. But I want to tell you, inflammation is one of the biggest threats to our health. And in the early 2000s, Time magazine came out that the big enemy is inflammation. Medical community didn't know what to do with it, but they knew that was the enemy. And so what do you do? Well, medical community, to be honest with you, and I love them, thank God for them, they help. But I want to tell you, they would just treat the effect of inflammation because they didn't know what the cause was. But one of the things that inflammation does in your body, you know, it's really a part of your defense system that God created. But it gets out of sync, it gets overladen, it gets out of sync, and it gets the signals that, you know, something's continually wrong in your body, and so it just sends them all out to attack wherever. And so inflammation can be bad. Starts out good, but it can be bad if it's out of sync. But the deal is that, you know, what your body will do is send water to that fire. You just see it as fire. The body will send water to it. And so it kind of swells up in different parts of your body like that by the water coming. And it pushes against nerves. That causes a lot of pain. That causes a lot of pain that doctors don't know what to do with except give you medicine for pain. But I want to tell you something. What God says is that you walk in love life with me. Are you listening to this? Do you believe the Word of God? God says, you walk in love life with me. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Love me. Worship me. Turn away from evil. And it'll be life to you. It'll be healing to you to walk in love life with me. And it'll be health to your nerves. Does that sound like coming against inflammation? I'm telling you, the Lord can heal inflammation. And it says sinews and marrow and moistening to your bones. I remember decades ago going to the surgeon that operated at that time on the Dallas Cowboys because I had injuries that he said went back to football. And boy, they'd caught up with me. And I told him, I said, Doc, just put some WD-40 in there and let me go. He said, if I could do that, we'd have a line of people out the door. But that's what I was needing. I needed, you know, some WD-40 in these joints. And you know what? Wait a minute. Does that kind of sound like some arthritis and crippling type? Wait. I'm telling you, there's so much power in the Word of God. Proverbs 4 says that His Word is life to all of our flesh. Now, if God's Word says that, God's Word's true. So I'm telling you, one of the greatest medicines that you can have for your health and well-being, for your soul and your body, is to love the Lord, let the Lord love on you, love the Lord, love on others, and walk in the Word of God. We have an advantage that the world doesn't have. Boy, if we only believe that, do we believe that? And marrow, you know what? Hey, the Bible says the life of the body is in the blood. That's why when you go to the doctor and they want to check you out, one of the first things they do is do a blood panel. Because your blood will tell you what's right and what's wrong. And that's what they look at. Well, I want to tell you, it's what the Bible's See, the blood comes out of the marrow. I'm telling you, on a daily basis, and I'm not a doctor or son of the doctor, but I've studied some of this stuff just to tell you enough to know that this is the Word of God. That in your marrow is where blood's made. Billions. I didn't say millions. I said billions of red blood cells and white blood cells come out of your marrow 24 hours a day. Platelets come out of your marrow 24 hours a day. Well, the life of the body is the blood. That's what the Bible says. Well, if George Washington would have just reached over and grabbed his Bible and opened his Bible up to see that the life of the body is in the blood, then he wouldn't have allowed the cutting that took place that was practiced that day, because they thought if you'd lose blood, you'd get new blood and you'd be all better. And he died from blood cutting, bloodletting. It wasn't something major he was facing, but this is the way. But I want to tell you, right there in the Bible, I love George Washington. Thank God for him. Honor the Lord with your capital. Now, see, this doesn't make sense to the world. But he says, I will cause, so shall, means I'll do it. Not you do it, he says, I'll do it. I'll cause your storage places to be filled with plenty and your vats overflowing with new wine. So listen at this. Hey, if he's your Lord and you're walking in reverence, love, life with him, he'll give you direction. Need direction? If you know him as your Savior and you're walking hand-in-hand with your Savior, he's your rescue. Do you need rescued? Hey, I tell people, you know, don't just seek a healing. You know what people want? They want to run up and just grab a healing out of his hand and go on. Yeah, let me get healed or let me get rescued and let me go on with my life. No, he wants more than that. He wants you. But I want to tell you, one of the best ways to be healed, to be rescued, is to be intimate with the Savior, intimate with your healer. It's received. Not earned. Not deserved. It's received. One of the best ways to receive provision is to be intimate with a provider. One of the easiest ways to get delivered is to be intimate with your deliverer. You know, all of that spells salvation, by the way. Okay, so let God defend you, not just all for crisis. He wants relationship. That's what religion doesn't know about. They just give you a list and say, do this, and don't do this. Try to make God happy so you can get something from him, so you can talk him into it, wrestle him out of it. No, 1,000 times no. God wants relationship. Fellowship, relationship, a walk. You know what God wants is a walk. I want to tell you, I love you so much. I'm speaking to the whole body of Christ. But it goes like this. A lot of people think that all they need is a 911 relationship with God. Oh, in trouble today. Help. Help. 911. I want to tell you, he loves you so much, he'll do it. His heart is so big, he will rescue you. Even if your motive's not perfect. He will reach down and touch you and love on you and help you. But I want to tell you, he wants more than a 911 relationship. You know what he wants? A 911 relationship. That's Psalm 91:1, where we practice his presence. That's what he wants. Where we abide in his presence. Fellowship relationship. In verse 2 it says that we will declare who he is and what he is. And there's a lot of authority that goes out when you declare it, who he is and what he is. And the rest of that Psalm 91, the protection psalm, says he will, he will, he will, he will. Wow. How exciting that is. Setbacks come because we're in a real battle, real fallen world, real enemy, real flesh. Your humanness does not offend your high priest. Boy, I have to emphasize that even with pastors, because it ain't nobody be worse on themselves, more down on themselves, more critical of themselves than a pastor, because they have a higher expectation. And I understand all that, but what I'm telling you is this, is that, you know what? Hey, real battle, real humanness. I want to tell you, sometimes that humanness just shows up, flesh shows out, and I want to tell you that doesn't offend your high priest. Because we have a high priest who sympathizes with your weaknesses. That's your Jesus. Hey, he's not interested in beating you around the woodshed, giving you big old whooping. You know what he's interested in? You getting yourself back to him. So you can realize and recognize and remember that, you know what? You're forgiven. And you know what, that mess you got yourself in, even because of your own choices, you know what, I want to tell you something, that's not the real you. You're saved, you're born again, you're a new creation. And you come back and receive what you know is already yours, walk in your forgiveness that I paid for, and walk in restoration, and you walk with me, get right back in step with me. That's what he wants. He's not pleased by you walking around like a puppy with the tail between the legs. He's pleased for you to come and receive the kingdom. Wow, that's a beautiful father, isn't it? I want to tell you, the only thing that I can really see in Scripture, because his grace is better, is greater than your sin. But I want to tell you this, the only thing I can see that will put the brakes of God on in your life is pride. I told a pastor the other day, I said, eyes in the middle of pride, eyes in the middle of sin. They go hand in hand. It's pride. And the Bible tells us what to do with that. You humble yourself. Big difference between humbling yourself and being humiliated. Sometimes I have people talk to me, they've been humiliated. You say, well, I'm humble now. Not necessarily. No, you got caught. Sorry, you got caught. But to humble yourself is something you do before God. When you surrender to him, he redeems. He causes your setbacks. Get ready for this. He causes your setbacks to be setups for promotion and victory. Because that brings him honor and glory. Your journey is not over. Don't believe that. You can trust him. Boy, this is big right here. I'd like to just park here. You can trust him for accelerated restoration and breakthrough promotion. Well, if that didn't do something for you, maybe this will. You're resting in him. That's that place of believing and receiving of the Lord will cause acceleration in your life by him. Resting in him brings acceleration in your life by him. That's supernatural. I want you to see it in Hosea 2:15. Hosea 2:15. I got a hold of this early in the week. I haven't been able to. I'm telling you, it's still ministering to me. Therefore, I will give her vineyards. This is talking about God restoring. And he says, I'll give her vineyards. And I want to tell you, vineyards were the status quo of how your life was going back in the time of the Israelis. Your vineyard. I mean, in East Texas, they used to have a saying when I was a kid, how your mom and him? How your mom and him? That meant, how your family doing? And you'd just give a report on how the family all doing. How your mom and him? Well, this is what they would do this, how your vineyard? How your vineyard this year? Because ever how your vineyard was going was how you going. And so I want to tell you, vineyard was real important. And God is saying right here what he will do. He will give you vineyards. You say, well, that's good news. Let me tell you more. In the valley of Achor. Now, that didn't really do a whole lot for me till I looked up Achor. But Achor, the name, and I've taught you and shared with you that Bible names have meaning. And boy, you get a lot of insight by looking them up. Achor means trouble and disturbance. That happens in the valley a lot. Am I right? Okay, not too much on the mountaintop, but it happens in the valley. But I'm telling you, in the valley, when you're experiencing trouble and disturbance, someone catch this. God says, I will be for you a door of hope and expectation. In the middle of disturbance and trouble in the valley, he's going to show up. And I want to tell you, the Bible says he's the door. He's the way. He's the life. And he's the door. And he'll show you an open door. He's an open door for you. And you know what? It's hope. He'll show you and give you hope. In the middle of the valley, he'll show you hope of what he wants to do and what he will do. Hey, that's how we describe hope. It's a positive expectation of God's goodness in your life. Hallelujah. He's designed us to walk in this. And so not only that, but he says, and look at this, and she shall sing. You shall sing there, and he'll give you a song of victory, a song of overcoming. Okay, I had a pastor, an elder of a church, text me this morning, and he said, look, he said, this song has ministered to me all week long. I just got to share it with you. You minister to me, I want to minister to you. This song, he said, I can't get over it. And I played the song this morning before I came out here. It just touched my heart. It brought me a lot of memories because whenever Big John and I were doing a meeting together, I would have him sing that song every time. And I could even hear, even though he wasn't his voice, I could hear his voice sing. Do you understand that? It's a song of victory. He'll give that to you. And respond as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, I want to tell you, that was great joy. That's salvation joy. And what he's saying is this, is that your greatest joy is not behind you. With me, as the door of your hope, you walk through that door. Your greatest joy is not behind you. Your greatest joy is before you. I have greater joy for you than you've ever experienced. Wow, praise his name. That's your Lord. God is full of loving kindness for your future. And I want to tell you, even though we're not faithful, he's faithful to make it so. Jesus' finished works on the cross qualify you for every good and perfect gift from the Father. Not because of your own efforts or your own works of goodness, but because of Jesus. That's why you got to come to Jesus. Depend and trust in Jesus. You stand in the perfect rightness of Jesus. And what happens is kingdom multiplication happens. God makes it happen, you don't. It's supernatural. What you receive from him to you is released through you to others. You become a river of life. You become a river of life. Now, you may be known by others as a pond of depression, a creek of bad report, a sour creek. But I want to tell you what Jesus can do and he wants to do. He wants to be that wellspring of life in you that'll splash out on others, where that others around you are affected by the river of life in you, and they get a taste of grace and the love of God to make them want it more. As a matter of fact, one of the descriptions in Scripture of the word blessed means to envy. They see the God on you. They see the love of God, the blessing of the Lord on you. In spite of the valley that you've been through, they see your joy and your peace that no man can understand. And they say, I'm envious of that. I want their God. That's a great description. It's powerful. It's supernatural. You can deliver, be a delivery, a door of hope because of Jesus. You can be a door of hope and strength and freedom of God's grace to loved ones, and even to people that you don't even know. It's powerful. It's supernatural. God does it through us. We're the vessel. Bible says we're to be the living epistle. A living testimony. A living written testimony. What's the gospel according to you say? You can't be small human-minded. Because small human-minded only sees needs. I want to tell you, you got to be spiritual-minded. You got to be God-minded. You got to see God. And when you see God, you see that he's the more than enough supply. No matter what people need prayer for, God's more than enough supply. Time's short. I plan to do everything I can to equip and strengthen believers and win the lost. I got a strong desire and drive in me that the fourth quarter of my life, no matter how much time we have left, we have till Jesus comes, I want to anchor believers on the rock, and I want to bring believers to the rock, unbelievers to the rock. That's our purpose. Psalm 92. I got to hurry, so here we go. Psalm 92, verse 12. Wow, stand on the rock. The righteous are those who know about the righteousness of Jesus, and we're living by His righteousness and not ours. Stand on the rock. The uncompromisingly righteous that have the foundation of Jesus, the Word and the Spirit. Okay, are you with me? The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, I love this so much, and I did a little study on the palm tree, okay, because I didn't grow up around palm trees. I grew up around pine trees. But when the Bible says that He wants you to flourish like a pine tree, this, like a palm tree, this is what He does in your life. Look, the palms trees live in what looks like barren soil. And so I want to tell you, God's fruitfulness, God's blessing in your life is not depending on your around circumstances. It's not depending on what it looks like around you. It may be look like dry sand, like it look like nothing can live or grow there. But I want to tell you, God can cause you to prosper like a palm tree. Do you see that? And I want to tell you, they're deep watered. They're deep root watered. You may not see water anywhere around them, but their roots go deep to find water. I want to tell you, when we allow our roots to go deep into the water of His Word, I want to tell you, you can flourish. He will cause you to flourish like a palm tree. Wow. I love them, don't you? Their fruit is a great supply for diet. People feast off the palm tree. I want to tell you, when you're a palm tree in the Lord, people will feast off of you. The Jesus fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in you. Hey, camels feed off the palm tree. Hey, meet needs in other ways. God can do that. The leaves are used for baskets and for ropes. The limbs are used for fences. The juice, there's a juice that comes out of the palm tree that's a very strong drink. I can't promote the strong drink, but what I can say is it's medicine. But I'm telling you, the juice out of the palm tree can be medicine for you and for others. Wood. For building, material, or firewood. I want to. What I'm saying to you is that every part of the palm tree is useful to others. And when you're a palm tree in the Lord, you allow the Lord to raise you up as a palm tree, and you flourish as a palm tree. I want to tell you that every part of your life is a benefit for other people. Somebody say amen. Grow like cedars of Lebanon. And what I saw about the cedars of Lebanon was so amazing is their long living. Now, I'm not talking about He's promised us long life, but not long miserable life. That's not God. Long blessed life. I was trying to tell a pastor the other day about the blessing of Abraham, that's for us too. And he said, no, that's just for the Jews. I said, no, we become Jews. We become grafted in because of Jesus, and we become the real Jews, those that believe and trust in the Lord. We honor the Jews. We honor Israel. But I want to tell you, we're not second kin. We're not stepchildren in the kingdom of God. And so I want to tell you, it's so exciting that we can be that and we can receive. But a long living means blessed life. And I was telling him about Abraham. I said, you know, when God healed Abraham so he could have a son, it wasn't a one-time event. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, no, Abraham had other children after that. No, I don't think so. I said, yeah, it's in the Bible. And so I want to tell you, he wasn't just healed for a one-time hug with Sarah. He was so healed and restored. His body was restored to the place that he had other sons. Okay? And so I'm telling you, what are you believing for? He said, well, I don't really believe in that. I said, man, I'm praying for restoration of youth. I said, that's part of the blessing. He said, I don't go there. He said, I'm not there. I said, well, part of the blessing of Abraham is that he had a beautiful wife, even though she was 100 years old. I said, when she was 100 years old, there was a foreign king that wanted her and his harem. Now, how many 100 years old? I was like, I'm not going there. But I want to tell you, as part of the blessing, she was beautiful. He wasn't looking, that king wasn't looking through spiritual eyes. Oh, I just love her heart. No. He was eyeballing her through human eyes and say, "Woo, what a catch. I want her." Okay, I'm just trying to explain to you. There's blessing there. And this same pastor said, "I'm not believing about the restoration of youth stuff." He said, oh, okay, wait. I want that. He said, I'm going to believe for that, okay? Well, I thought that was funny. Okay, maybe it was just me. All right. Hey, long living. I'm telling you, they live up to 1,000 years old. I don't know what you're believing for. They get up to 80 to 100 feet tall. The circumference of their trunk is 40 feet. That's big, people. That's big. Hey, they present majesty, durability. Boy, this speaks of us. This is what God wants to do. He wants to make you like a cedar of Lebanon. That's what he says. Are we going to believe the word? Is this something God can do in us? You may have had the first part of your life look like a weed. But I want to tell you, God can grow you into a cedar of Lebanon. Majesty, durability, incorruptibility, stability. Through every season of life, somebody say amen. And verse 13 says this. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, flourishing in the courts of our God. Boy, that's beautiful right there. Now, the house of the Lord is talking about the presence of the Lord. A personal presence of the Lord you need to walk in and practice. And a corporate presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a corporate anointing when you come together. And I want to tell you, the Lord just loves it. And he manifests himself in special ways. And he wants to do that personally with you. But he also loves to do it corporately. That's why we tell people you need to go to church. Boy, there's blessing. There's blessing. There's corporate blessing and presence of the Lord in the courts of God. And you'll flourish there. Verse 14 says this. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. Now, boy, I'm telling you, I'm telling older pastors this. Because older pastors have a tendency to retire before they go to heaven. That's not Bible. I'm telling them, refire, don't retire. Okay, and at God's promise, this is part of God's promise. Is this the Word of God? Do we believe in the Word of God? Well, I'm telling you, walking in the freedom life of Jesus will cause you to be fruitful and productive in your older age. Old age does not mean limited reduction in effectiveness. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, not according to human mind, but according to the Bible, our latter years ought to be our most productive years. Somebody say praise the Lord. So you bring forth fruit in your old age. That ought to change something about us. Let's take God's mindset instead of the world's. And it says in here, look at this, they shall be full of sap. Now I love that. You know what that means? Spiritual vitality. They got life about them. Huh? Come on. And not a moan and groan, it's a shout. I'm telling you, they're full of spiritual vitality, full of spiritual life. And rich in the verdure. Now, I had to look that up because it didn't make sense to me. But it's talking about all the greenery and the flourishing. I mean, they look like life. May be old, but they're full of life. It's the life of the Lord, the Zoe life of the Lord. And so they'll bring forth fruit in their old age. Now, I kind of get a kick out of the way King James puts it. It puts it that they'll be fat and flourishing. Now, I want to tell you, it's not what it's talking about. I know we kind of have dismissed fat. But I want to tell you, it's a word that they meant there, that the Lord prospering you. And the Lord's blessing obvious upon you. And verse 15 says this. This is the last. I'm finishing up, right? Or will you stay with me just a minute? They are living memorials. We're back to being that living epistle. Let me put it to you in a way. It need to be your screenshot for the whole world. Need to be a living billboard to declare to the people that Jesus is righteous, that he's faithful and true, and what he's done for me, he'll do for you. To show that the Lord's upright and faithful to his promises. He's my rock. Let's be grounded on the rock. When storms and winds come and you're on the rock, you're going to be okay. There's no unrighteousness in him. He does not have evil planned for you. He's not going to trick you or betray you. He has only his best in mind for you. Is that a good report? So that's the Lord right there. You want in on this? That's your God. Well, he wants you in on it more than you do. And he sent his son to pay for it to be so. And it's through the cross. Will you bow your heads? Thank you so much. I took a few extra minutes there, but it was important to finish this part. And I just want to say I love you. The Lord loves you. If the enemy has told you that you've messed up and it's over, if the enemy's told you that you're too old and it's over, well, I want to tell you, those are all lies. We believe the Bible. Let's live by the Bible. If the Bible says it, let's agree to it. You say, well, I don't understand. Don't let that get in your way. All right, believe the Bible. Speak the Bible. Give your allegiance to what God says, what God wants. And you let God be God. If we don't hear it, we can't believe it. If we don't believe it, we can't receive it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's say yes to what God says. Let's say yes to God's heart for us by bringing our heart to Him and humbling ourselves before God and man. Because that puts us in a position to receive. God wants you to receive. He's done everything on His part for you to receive. And so don't you dare say, well, when God decides to do something, He already has. He's made provision. He wants us to receive it. Lord Jesus, we just surrender to You afresh this morning. Lord Jesus, thank You for showing Yourself mighty on the cross for us. Thank You that You had us in mind. Thank You, Lord, by that Your works on the cross, by Your blood, that we are completely set free to walk in freedom life. Thank You, Lord, that You're our helper. Thank You, Lord, that You make it happen. Thank You, Lord, that when we rest, You accelerate in our life. We surrender. We submit. Lord, we choose to believe what You say. We surrender ourselves to You. Lord, Your goodness is amazing. Your goodness draws us to You. And we receive in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give the Lord praise for His word. Amen.